This is pretty good now. It's gonna test your mind early in the morning here, Brett. It says, who's most likely not to win their conference or make the playoffs? Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. That's
a good
one,
Bill. Yeah, that is a good one. Thanks for having me on. I think of those three, I think the most likely is Ohio State. I don't really see any other competition out there. So this comes down to either Alabama or Clemson. With Alabama, I think within the SEC, there's more other contenders. I like Georgia to really make a push. Now, I'll caveat this with I haven't researched the SEC yet, but I have researched the ACC, and I can make kind of a case for Clemson to be knocked off here. I really think that if you're buying stock in a program in the ACC for 2021 and beyond, I think you got to look at UNC. They're really building something special there at North Carolina. They bring a ton of talent back from last year. Now, yes, I know if you watch the NFL draft, you saw both starting running backs and both starting receivers get drafted. And I totaled it up. It was over 10,000 yards combined, over 90 touchdowns combined over their career. So, yes, there's some firepower gone. But they've recruited at a pretty high clip now, back-to-back top 15 classes. Nine other starters back on offense, 10 starters back on defense. You return Sam Howell, who could be a Heisman candidate. You have an NFL-caliber offensive line there. They average like 6'5", 335. So I really like what they have on offense. Now, the question is, how quickly can defense get up to speed? And, for years, their coordinator, Jay Bateman, has talked about positionless football and hybrid players, and he's coached them up that way. And I think now it's going to start to pay dividends because they have a good problem, and it's they have too many talented players to get onto the field. They're trying to cut it down to a starting 11, and they have so many prospects. So long story short, I really like what UNC has. It's a very manageable schedule. When you look at it, I think they're going to be favored in all 12 games. They don't play Clemson in the crossover, so they only have to beat them once. If they get to Charlotte there in the conference title game, who knows? It's one game. Last time, they were 1 yard away from beating them back in 2019, and they've really improved as a program since then.
Bama has the toughest obstacles just because of the league they're in and the division they're in. Good point. Buckeyes probably easiest. And then, so you're saying that Clemson, for the first time in a while, legitimately could, again, you're not saying absolutely will, but could get knocked off here.
Yeah, I think for the first time in quite a few years, it's into the margin of error. I mean, I'm not predicting it, but it's no longer 100% lock because you also have a little bit of a transition year for Clemson. Now, I will say it's funny when I talk about this, when I go from talking Syracuse and Duke 1 week to Clemson's problems, like, okay, these problems aren't that serious, but they are transitioning quarterbacks. They were exposed in their last game on the national stage defensively, because Ohio State was really, they would break the huddle, run to the line real quick and not give Brent Venables time to adjust his defense around. Maybe that's a strategy going forward for some teams to capitalize on. I saw Virginia Tech did that a little bit in the start of their game towards the end of the season against Clemson, and it worked. Didn't have the horses to pull it off, but they had this in the right strategy. So, I think for the first time, transfer quarterback, ETN's gone. Maybe the defense starting to show some signs of a regression, but I think it's open. The door's open for the first time in a long time. It might be a small crease, but it's enough to make it a question.
When you get to Clemson, go quickly to freshman running back Will Shipley, who's a North Carolina kid, speaking of that. Five-star running back. Looked good in the spring. I didn't watch it, but looked good in the spring. And as you know, Brett, with your studies, true freshman running back can play immediately if they're good enough. So keep an eye on that name. That'll be a prominent name this year for them.
Yeah, for sure. They have a lot of incoming players there at running back. The one, I don't know if it's Shipley, but I read they had a Christian McCaffrey lookalike coming in, same
that's
style
Shipley.
Of play.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing that, kind of a game changer there. They have now a receiver, too. I know they lose some names, but they've stockpiled five-star and four-star kids. It's just a matter of if the older veterans step up or if some of these new guys can take their spots. Again, a good problem to have. When I talk Syracuse and Duke, maybe they have one four-star between them. But you talk at Clemson, they have 8 4-stars at receiver. So it is quite a contrast. And when I say problems, you know, Clemson's very well suited for another ACC push, another playoff push, and we'll see how they bounce back from a two-loss season, a rare two-loss season.
Does Louisville proverbially turn the corner this year?
Well, I thought they were going to last year. You know, let's just rewind a bit. The thing really collapsed in 2018 with Petrino's last year. Really lost the locker room, and it was a mess. And they went 2-10, and the Vegas line was dropping each week. They couldn't keep up. You know, fast forward a year to Scott Satterfield coming in 2019. You could argue coach of the year the way he turned them around. Won 7 or 8 games there. And had him competitive, great offense. So last year I was thinking, okay, so you saw the transition year. I was thinking they're going to build on that. The really great offense on paper, if the defense could just make a little bit of gains, you'd have something special in 2020. It was actually the opposite. The defense was okay, and then the offense didn't live up to its 2019 standards, the key being turnovers. And I don't just say that for every team, but they were, I think, fourth nationally in turnovers. They had the yards, they had the drives, and they were just shooting themselves in the foot with turnovers, so, and in a bunch of close games that cost them. So they finished with 4 wins, and they're a lot better than 4 wins. So let's see this year. They do lose firepower at running back with Hawkins and the two receivers, Tutu Atwell and Des Fitzpatrick, both gone. And they're, you know, Louisville, I don't think, is as suited to reload at these positions like you see at Clemson and North Carolina. So I think it'll be tough to match their offense from last year, and that's relying on a big defensive gain. So, you know, good enough for middle of the pack, ACC Atlantic. Probably going to increase on that 4 wins. They were a lot better than that 4 wins showed, but they're not ready to contend for a Coastal Division yet, or an Atlantic Division.
Brett Ciancia with us. Noel Cab, who is up in Chicago. He is a – now, how about this, Brett? He's a combination Northern Illinois Florida State fan. That's why he goes by the name of Noel Cab. Up in DeKalb, Illinois, where he lives, Chicago area. Anyways, he wants your thoughts on FSU this year.
Well, first I'll tell you, I was out to a game at DeKalb. You know, the alma mater, Boston College, was playing out there. We did a road trip, you know, flew into Chicago and then rented a huge bus and just drove, you know, 3 hours into the cornfields. I loved it out there. It was a great trip, and those fans are passionate. But about Florida State, you know, they have quite a transition ahead of themselves. I think they're going to need another reload year, another rebuild year. I know I love the transfer quarterback, Mackenzie Milton. The question is, how healthy is he? Because at his peak in 2017 and 2018, he was a Heisman candidate. Go through a terrible injury like that and 2 years away from the game, I don't know how he comes in. So we'll see. And is he tentative, too, in the run game, which was so big on his game at UCF? Is he going to be tentative now? Looked great in the spring game. So he passed the first test. I do like Jordan Travis anyway at quarterback too. But there's some serious issues here. You know, offensive line, I know they made a little bit of a gain last year, but still one of the worst units out there in Power 5. They're going to need that to click. Lose a lot of star power on defense. But, yeah, so I still think they're a year away. But I don't want to use 2020 as a, you know, as an indicator for Mike Norvell. There were so many weird things with Florida State with the opt-outs, the transfers. It was a coach transition in the short off season. I mean, he had the virus himself and missed 3 weeks, so I don't want to make that a referendum on him. I think 2021 is important, but really 22.
Brett Ciancia joins us every Wednesday to talk college football. He's been working league to league. Now, after you finish the ACC here, where you go next?
I think I'm going to start Big Ten. So I'm going to dig into the Big Ten a lot. And this should go a little quicker because of such a short season they had. Similar to my Pac-12 research, I would look at a team, they played 4 games. I mean, that's pretty easy to get through. And a lot of the rosters came back because of the shortness of the season. So I'm going to go Big Ten next. Like I said, before any research, before any review, it looks like Ohio State at the top, and I don't really see a contender for them. You know, the usual suspects, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, had kind of down years last year, so I want to see what they have coming back. The sleeper team last year that didn't get enough credit for being pretty strong, I thought was Iowa, a team a lot better than their record showed, great metrics. So let's see what they have coming back and conduct the research, and we'll talk.
You have a early feel before getting in there about the second-best team, Penn State. I don't think it's Michigan. Certainly doesn't look like it's Michigan going in. Could it be Wisconsin? Not going division by division, but a Wisconsin or Minnesota. Minnesota did not have the year we thought they would have a year ago.
Yeah, so, you know, right away some people might say Indiana also, but, you know, I love the story with Tom Allen. That's a coach I got to talk to. I don't know. I think they had a special year last year. I don't know if it has staying power. If you look at some of those games against Michigan, definitely against Penn State, I know they were outgained 300 yards by Penn State. You usually lose those games like 95% of the time. So, you know, credit them for grinding out close wins and having a special season. I don't see it staying up there. So, you know, I think for number two in the Big Ten, the easy money would be Penn State, just given their track record in recruiting. You know, hopefully they fix their offensive coordinator situation there with Mike Yurcich coming up. Formerly had success at Oklahoma State under Mike Gundy, at Ohio State, and even Division II Shippensburg up here in Pennsylvania, rural PA. That's where he came from, so it's kind of cool to see him back in PA. But, yeah, I think Penn State's your easy money there. At a quick glance, no research, just given the track record recruiting. And then Wisconsin's track record and player development has to get them in the conversation there, too, with Iowa.
Sad story here. People were hitting me up. Former Hawaii football quarterback Colt Brennan has passed away. He was only 37. I don't know if you've seen this news. I don't know much about it. I don't have any details. But that's pretty sad right there. This guy threw for a trillion yards when he was there, it seems like.
Yeah, so, you know, I might be a little younger than a lot of the listeners. I was growing up during those years. That was my high school years, seeing him at Hawaii there, 2006, 2007. You know, it made for great midnight football. You'd stay up till 10:30 kickoffs and 11 kickoffs to watch it. And that was at a time before the air raid really was as common. I mean, now you have everyone throwing for those amount of yards. But back then you had this guy in Hawaii who was just, you know, throwing the ball 50 times a game, putting up 500 yards a game, set some FBS records. So, yeah, really, really a shame to hear the news. I saw that come across and just, yeah, you hope, you know, you wonder what happened, and it's just really sad. I mean, that's an icon to a lot of the, you know, 25 to 35 age group kids that grew up watching college football. That's, you know, that's one of the guys we saw. So that's really a shame. And, yeah, terrible news.
You growing up in Pennsylvania there, how did you migrate? You're considered, at least people in the South will look at where you're at and say, he's in pure pro sports territory. Now, obviously, Penn State, Pitt, there's lots of ball below pro football, pro sports in your state, but your state is pro football centric. How did you migrate to the college game? How did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a pro area. It's funny, I've been on probably 100 radio stations across the country, but still haven't landed a Philly one, my hometown. Like all they talk about the Eagles. It's all Eagles, a little bit of Sixers in there. But, yeah, so it's definitely a pro area, unless you're a Penn Stater. And I'm actually not. I wasn't, you know, not a Penn State family. So it's really rare, I guess, that I would have picked it up. It's probably my dad and my grandfather, a huge college football people. You know, every Saturday in the fall growing up, that's what we did. You'd have, you know, the three screens going. You'd be grilling outside and, you know, you might as well have been from the South in that regard, because college football is king here, at least in our family. So, and, you know, grew up with it, really took an extra interest in it, and, you know, built a website and started the book about 10 years ago, and, you know, really dig into the research, as you know, and just love it. I mean, I could, you know, I do this all year, so.
Tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, thanks. It's Pick Six Previews on Twitter. And at Pick Six Previews on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com. Annual season preview book, all 65 Power 5 teams. Yeah, it's a one-man show. It's just me. I'm digging into film, my numbers, and calls with coaches, calls with coordinators. And that's coming out late June. So I'm working through that now and talking with Bill each Wednesday. So, yeah, thanks for having me on, Bill.
See you next week, sir.
See ya.